From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Otis Williams says the city is in a better position to attract developers as his second tenure leading the St. Louis Development Corporation ends.
There needs to be a real focus on what happens downtown, because it is really the signature and face of not only the city, but of the region.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri discusses with Williams what he hopes will happen in the city beyond his time at the agency. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway.
The people united will never be defeated.
Thousands participated in anti-Trump protests across the St. Louis region Saturday.
We don't want kings or ice.
The demonstrations were part of the No Kings protests held around the country. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed was there and has this report.
Protesters gathered across from Union Station in downtown St. Louis and marched 2 miles denouncing President Trump's policies since he took office for a second term. Webster Grove School District student Jude Esland attended the protest alongside her mom and friends.
We want a strong America to grow up in, and we want to know that it's not going to fall to ruins as soon as we have a voice that we can use.
Yeah.
In a statement to NPR, a White House spokeswoman denounced the protest and called them, quote, Trump derangement therapy sessions. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
For more coverage of the protest, visit stlpr.org. St. Louis residents are again being asked whether they want to keep a 1% earnings tax. Proposition E marks the fourth vote on the tax since 2011, as required by state law. It's paid by people who live or work in the city and makes up more than a third of the city's general revenue fund. The tax frequently comes under attack from lawmakers in Jefferson City. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says she knows the city needs to look at other sources of revenue.
It's a prudent thing for any city to do as we're looking at a tight budget and one where, you know, look, it doesn't feel good to be pitting our city departments against others.
Former Mayor Tashara Jones created a task force to study alternatives to the earnings tax in 2024. The group met several times but didn't release a report. Republican Congressman Sam Graves isn't running for another term. Graves announced that he's pulling the plug on his re-election bid, opening up his district that stretches from his home in Atchison County to northeast Missouri. Graves says after serving in state and federal politics since 1993, it's time for a new generation of political leadership to step up.
I intend to continue to work and find something different to do, and it was just time to move on.
Potential GOP contenders to replace Graves include radio host Chris Stegall, State Representative Mazie Christensen, and Kansas City Councilman Nathan Willett. A judge has ruled that Missouri's new congressional map is in effect. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on why the win for Missouri Republicans will be appealed.
Republicans redrew the state's congressional lines last year to target Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. But opponents of that plan turned in signatures to put the map up for a vote, and the ACLU of Missouri sued over whether turning in the referendum signatures prevented that plan from going into effect. Cole County Judge Brian Stumpy ruled that the plaintiffs didn't have standing to file the lawsuit. He also wrote that the newer map is in effect until Secretary of State Denny Hoskins verifies the signatures. The plaintiffs in the case plan to appeal. If the 2025 map is in effect, then Cleaver may have a much harder time winning re-election. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
This comes after last week the Missouri Supreme Court upheld the state legislature's right to redraw districts in the middle of the decade. The National Blues Museum in St. Louis is closed. The organization's board of directors announced Friday that the museum had closed to the public, though 2 weekend shows at the venue would go on. The attraction on Washington Avenue downtown would have marked its 10th anniversary this week. The National Blues Museum's leaders said the abrupt closure was caused by the economic climate downtown and a loss of federal funding. Two North St. Louis County artists are hoping a new arts initiative will build up the region's art scene. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the event Forging Black Joy runs through the end of May at the ERG Gallery in Delwood.
The initiative includes artist talks, gallery exhibitions, and poetry nights.
Nasa Adams is a co-curator of the event. They say before 1980, there were about 30 art spaces in North County and nearby areas. But as people moved out of the county, the resources moved with them. Adams says while there are some galleries and studios in North County, they want to see more so artists from the area don't have to travel far.
One of our main purposes is to not only like reinvigorate our area, but hope that with this start that other spaces will be wants to be created, you know?
The initiative will run until the closing festival on May 31st. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Hundreds of thousands of tulips are in bloom at Eckert's Farm in Belleville. The local farm's leaders say they wanted to create a kickoff to the homegrown and picking season at the Metro East staple. Diane Combs is one of the visitors who walked down the rows of colorful tulips with a pair of scissors in hand Friday morning. The Staunton resident said fighting the wind and sudden cold was worth it for the fresh flowers.
I'm just looking for what stands out to me when I go down the rows here. Pretty colors and, yeah, something that'll look good together in my little bouquet.
Farm leaders say the tulip festival will continue for at least a few more weeks while the flowers are in bloom. Mary Eckert, the vice president of retail for the local farm chain, says that the 300,000 tulip bulbs have made for a one-of-a-kind experience, but she says growing plants in the varying weather we've had this season has been a challenge.
You know, just like everything else, we adapt and know Mother Nature's the boss, so we just roll with it.
You can check out photos of the tulips at stlpr.org. When Interim St. Louis Development Corporation President and CEO Otis Williams came out of retirement at the request of city officials last May, he said he wanted to make development in St. Louis more predictable. He brought previous experience. Before he retired in 2021, he had done the job for more than 10 years. His last day in the temporary job was Friday. St. Louis Public Radio's economic development reporter Kayvon Mansouri met up with Williams to talk about the highlights of his career and his hopes for St. Louis's future.
Otis, looking back at this latest tenure at SLDC, what sticks out to you as the highlights?
A great day during this tenure was actually the opening of the NGA. And when I retired in 21, I didn't think that I'd be around to participate in the opening of that facility. You know, having spent so much time trying to get it underway. And so I think just attending that event was really satisfying. The fact that Cortex continues to, do their thing. The Kempton Hotel, will be coming. The project is finally through the legislative process, and so I think projects like that will be a signature.
And you've been part of some major landmarks in St. Louis, like Busch Stadium, the NGA campus, as you mentioned, and more. How does it feel to have had that part in St. Louis's economic landscape?
It was all about working with a lot of good people. Obviously the developer and the builders who made it all happen, but also just a number of political and staff members who just came through and made it all happen. And so those are all, when I see them all, I do have warm feelings about it, as those are things that will be around for a while. I really, like what those things mean, but I would really, really like to see something very significant happen along the corridors of MLK, Page, and Natural Bridge. If we can cause something very significant to happen there, I think that would be even greater than any of those signature projects that you talked about.
When you were appointed to this position, you said you wanted to stay the ship and make development more predictable in St. Louis. Can you talk about that, and where do you hope the city can go with that foundation?
The good thing is I think that the stars are beginning to align, and so working with all of the departments in the city and with the alderman in the mayor's office, just being able to facilitate and welcome redevelopment and work with the developers who have a desire to work here in the city. I think a home run is having work done all over the city, but there needs to be a real focus on what happens downtown, because it is really the signature and face of not only the city, but of the region. And so when I say that, I don't mean that we should not do and have a focus on North St. Louis or the recovery area or South St. Louis. I just mean that there is a need to have an intentional view of our downtown, because that is our signature location.
That was outgoing St. Louis Development Corporation interim leader Otis Williams speaking with STLPR's economic development reporter Kayvon Mansouri. That story was edited by our Brian Moline. The SLDC has named St. Louis native Stephen Westbrooks as its next president and CEO, following a months-long search, citing his extensive background in community development finance, real estate, and economic development. Today is his first day on the job. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.